the Truth News Network.
When you're sick already of your kids' home for the duration, how about a dose of clarity, a shot of reality, a tumbler of the truth?
TNN, the Truth News Network.
And here's your guide through the maze, Dan Newman.
I think everybody that's at home with the kids, school's out, they're trying to figure out what to do or how to handle it. They're looking for something a little stronger than those suggestions, Pete. Welcome to Truth News Network. Midweek, Wednesday. Never thought we'd get here. One good thing about today, we don't have an IRS confrontation day today. We were given a 90-day reprieve. Actually, July 15th is a deadline for any money that you owe the IRS for last year, and of course, your tax returns. So that's a good thing. What about your stimulus payment? Have you checked your bank account yet? Most of them are supposed to hit accounts today. So you may want to pause. In fact, hit the pause button and look online and see if your check hit this morning. Well, what would a day be in the life of the U.S. government, American politics, Donald Trump, and the media if we didn't see a bomb or two drop in the midst? Tuesday, no exception. Let's take a look at several of the bombs that dropped and which of those exploded. First, Dr. Fauci. Little Dr. Anthony is back in the news, and this time, he just might be back in the Trump doghouse. Rumors of President Trump firing Dr. Fauci were supposedly debunked by the president and the doctor, both of them, on Monday. But apparently, Dr. Fauci seems determined to keep himself front and center to be the next to leave the White House through the doghouse. Dr. Fauci said Tuesday that the United States does not have the testing and tracking procedures necessary to safely begin reopening the economy amid the coronavirus crisis, while warning that the White House's May 1 target may be a bit too optimistic. In an interview on Tuesday with the Associated Press, Fauci underscored the need for critical testing before returning to normal. I believe that is something that definitely needs to be considered. He said this, and it makes perfect sense. We have to have something in place that is efficient and that we can rely on, and we're not there yet. Fauci said that during his interview with the AP. His comments came as President Trump and others in the administration are weighing how to reopen sectors of the nation's economy during the COVID-19 pandemic. The White House extended social distancing guidelines through April 30th has floated the possibility of potentially reopening some areas by May 1. Fauci, though, said that May 1 is a bit overly optimistic for many areas of the country, while suggesting that much of the social distancing rules should occur on a rolling basis, his word, rather than all at once due to the coronavirus striking different parts of the country at different times over the last several weeks and doing so in different ways. Here's the key to this. Fauci also warned, yet again, that once restrictions are rolled back and the economy gets going after it's reopened, there are likely, his word, likely, to be new outbreaks of COVID-19. In fact, he said this, quote, "I'll guarantee you, once you start pulling back, there will be infections," Fauci said. "It's how you deal with the infections that's going to count." He added that the key is getting people out of circulation if they get infected, because once you start getting clusters again, then you're really in trouble. Well, 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 Tony. He and Trump just have this thing, don't they? They just rub against each other when they get in the same room. We'll see how that one shakes out. I bet you can get some odds in Vegas on whether or not he's going to get fired. I'll check on that for you and let you know what I find out tomorrow. Elsewhere, another bomb. Bloomberg hides facts to cover for China. Listen to this. This just kind of leaked out during the night. The news network owned by former presidential candidate Michael Bloomberg finds itself in the bullseye of the Chinese Communist Party. Why is that? Because of the subject of investigations into super wealthy and very politically connected members of China's class of elites. It began in China in 2012. That's a long time ago, you know, but Bloomberg's been over there for a long time. It began when a team of hard-nosed journalists at Bloomberg News started investigating the ties between the Communist Party and the country's wealthiest citizens. Their reporting hit a little too close to home at the higher-ups at Bloomberg, and they killed it, firing the reporter who questioned the decision and attempted to silence his wife by pressuring her for years to sign a non-disclosure agreement. The incredible story details all of the intrinsic circumstances behind Bloomberg's decision to give in to threats by the CCP, because Bloomberg didn't want any pushback from Beijing. I can get that. I understand that. They didn't stand by their reporters. Bloomberg didn't. Not only did they abandon those reporters, they went further, much further. They tried to get author Lita Hong Fincher, who was the wife of Bloomberg Beijing correspondent Mike Forsythe, to also keep quiet. They thought that because I was the wife of their employee, I was the employee, and they could tell me what to do, she said. I was just a thing in their employee's life. I was not even a human being. That didn't speak too highly for Bloomberg Network, does it? Forsythe was part of Bloomberg's team that were investigating how China's elite class had become and had maintained massive wealth. For their exposing of some of those details, they found themselves in the bullseye of a target Beijing put on Bloomberg's China operations. Warnings came from Beijing to Bloomberg about not publishing reports like that any further. Bloomberg's China team didn't stop, though. They kept digging and digging and digging deeper. They dug into Chinese leaders' ties to Wang Jianlin, the country's richest man. And then the investigative team made a big boo-boo. Guess who they went after next? They focused on the family of President Xi Jinping. When those investigations kicked off, editors at Bloomberg seemed really excited, and they pressed forward. But suddenly, orders came down from Big Daddy to call off the dogs. The reasons for the retreat? Follow the money. Bloomberg in China makes millions of dollars from the sales of their servers and other equipment, along with software to the Chinese government. It's in the millions. It's got to be in the hundreds of millions, maybe even more than that. It was inevitable that someone in Beijing was going to reach out to someone in Bloomberg's China management team and put the kibosh on any additional embarrassing stories published by Bloomberg. And the rest is history. Where was Michael Bloomberg when all of this was going on? Well, he was at the driver's wheel of the largest U.S. city, New York, as mayor. He claimed numerous times he was not involved with Bloomberg News, but Bloomberg's own reporters say he was in regular contact. He shared his vision all the time for expansion in China. This directly contradicts statements he repeatedly made, even during his bid for the White House. He also shut down the idea that Bloomberg News was ever going to back down from publishing a story. Nobody thinks we are wusses and not willing to stand up and write stories that are of interest to the public and that are factually correct, he said at a news conference while he was still mayor of New York. Michael Bloomberg portrayed himself while a candidate for 2020 as president, a I don't care about money picture for the public. Apparently, that wasn't the truth. So let's keep rolling. Let's throw another bomb into the landscape of this week regarding all things government, all things Donald Trump, all things Washington. President Trump said this yesterday to the WHO, the World Health Organization. You're fired. But he hadn't said that officially in a while. President Trump announced at the White House coronavirus press briefing yesterday that the United States will immediately halt all funding for the World Health Organization, saying it had put political correctness over life-saving measures. Trump declared that the U.S. will be forced to pursue other options as it reviews why the WHO had caused so much death by severely mismanaging and covering up the coronavirus's spread. We have deep concerns over whether America's generosity has put to the best possible use, Trump said, accusing the WHO of failing to adequately keep the international community apprised of the threat of the coronavirus. The WHO failed in this duty and must be held accountable, Trump said. He added that the WHO had ignored credible information in December of last year, 2019, that the virus could be transmitted from human to human. As early as late December, Wuhan, China medical staff were suspected to have contracted the disease, indicating likely human-to-human transmissibility. On January 4, in a statement first flagged by the National Review, the head University of Hong Kong Center for Infection warned that the city should implement the strictest possible monitoring system for a mystery new viral pneumonia that has infected dozens of people on the mainland, as it is highly possible that the illness is spreading from human to human. The Chinese government also began suppressing news about the virus. Nevertheless, on January 8, the WHO declared, and I quote, "Preliminary identification of a novel virus in a short period of time is a notable achievement and demonstrates China's increased capacity to manage new outbreaks." When that was reported, when that was said by the WHO, there were Chinese people all over the world spreading coronavirus, even here in the U.S. Well, let's roll out to the West a little bit, and let's go back a few years to the Clinton situation. Heard that name in a while? Well, there's some ballot harvesting lawsuits going on in Nevada. Clinton lawyer is to sue Nevada unless ballot harvesting is allowed there. This is really odd. A prominent Democratic lawyer who represented Hillary's presidential campaign is threatening to sue the state of Nevada unless it immediately suspends prosecutions for ballot harvesting before the June 9th primary, among a slew of other demands, according to a letter obtained on Tuesday. Mark Elias, now representing the Nevada Democratic Party, also called for a substantial expansion to in-person voting access in the upcoming primary, though just days ago, he said it was a, quote, "national disgrace" that Wisconsin was moving ahead with in-person voting amid the coronavirus pandemic. In both cases, he cited health concerns. Democrats had feared that high turnout in Wisconsin would hurt their chances, while they have a more optimistic outlook for Nevada. Writing on April 10th to Nevada Secretary of State Barbara Segovasky, a Republican, Elias first took aim at Nevada Revised Statute Section 293.330, Section 4. Now, I'm sure you'll go look that up, which prohibits ballot harvesting and permits only certain individuals, like family members, to return voters' ballots. Ballot harvesting, or the practice of allowing political operatives and others to collect voters' ballots and turn them en masse to polling stations, has drawn bipartisan concerns of fraud from election watchers. In his letter, Attorney Elias argued that many Nevada voters will not be able to return their mail-in ballots themselves and don't have family members, or are separated from these family members because of social distancing, who can do so for them. "We ask that your office," he said, "and the office of the Nevada Attorney General immediately announce a suspension of prosecutions under this statute for all elections for which mail-in balloting will be the primary means of voting in the state," Elias said. At the same time, he called for Nevada to stop throwing out ballots when signatures on voters' ballots appear different from those on voters' registrations, saying lay election officials have never had the necessary expertise to make an accurate determination. In an environment where the vast majority of Nevada voters will be casting a mail-in ballot for the first time, there is the real possibility that hundreds of thousands of Nevada voters could be disenfranchised due to the arbitrary determinations of these untrained officials, Elias wrote. In the alternative, Elias said that those found to have mismatched or missing signatures should be given an additional 2 weeks instead of the normal one-week deadline to clarify the matter. He also demanded that Nevada require mail-in ballots be sent to all registered voters in Nevada, not just those in an active status. Elias asserted that state election law doesn't distinguish between the two categories of voters. Republicans have argued that many states failed to adequately clean up their voter rolls. Last year, listen to this, last year, you probably didn't hear this. We reported about it, but it kind of got lost in the shuffle at most places. Last year, California was forced to remove a few of those ineligible voters, 1.5 million, after a court settlement when California's rolls, their voter rolls, showed a registration of 112%. 112% of those. It's incredible. It didn't have enough people that were died. They'd moved out of the state, moved out of the country, and they still had them on the voter rolls. Further, Elias urged that Nevada require more than just one in-person vote center per county in the state's most populous counties, as well as those with geographically distant population centers. Nevada voters have a proud tradition of voting in person, either during the early voting period or on election day, he wrote. Having only a single in-person location in each county poses certain risks and hardships to voters in various circumstances. Voters in dense urban communities, for example, will be forced into dangerously overcrowded polling places, while rural voters will have to travel unreasonable distances just to cast their ballots. On April 6th, though, Elias called it a national disgrace that may well cost lives when the Wisconsin Supreme Court blocked an order to shut down in-person voting there. No one should have to choose between voting and their health, Elias wrote on Twitter. He, among other things, is known for, and you may not remember this, but anyway, he was the guy in the Hillary Clinton campaign who hired private research firm Fusion GPS to probe Donald Trump during the 2016 campaign, efforts which resulted in the discredited anti-Trump dossier. A very fine, upstanding citizen and a great lawyer, wouldn't you say? Let's pull all this together today. Two big questions dominate brain time of most Americans. Right now, it's how do I keep members of my family from infection by COVID-19 coronavirus? Secondly, how long will it be before we can get back to work and school in the U.S.? Both questions are critical to a few folks, about 330 million of us Americans. Coronavirus and being out of work when appearing in tandem have paralyzed the nation. Because of the importance of these two, much of the normal everyday lives of most Americans have changed quickly and changed dramatically. But life goes on. Thankfully, it goes on. And the important things that were important pre-coronavirus are important today and will certainly still be important post-coronavirus. Maybe, just maybe, the ratings in our minds we assign to importance of life events may have already changed a bit because of our pandemic. There's nothing like a little extra pressure to clear the junk out of the fact bucket at my house anyway. When that happens, facts look bigger. They look clearer, more visible, and much more important. Why is that? When they're in the fact bucket, without any junk in there with them, facts are more obvious, more visible, and we see them more clearly. I'm going to close with this. In the next several weeks, our lives are going to change even one more time as our governments find ways to steer us out of the coronavirus quarantine quagmire. Making those moves will happen suddenly, probably more suddenly than we'll be comfortable with. Before we know it, our lives will be back involved in our schools, our restaurants, our churches, our theaters, streets, the homes of our friends and relatives, and we'll be corona-free. Won't that be a glorious day? I'm certain we'll all be a little more thankful for our lives when that happens. There's nothing better for giving us proper perspective than a pandemic every now and then that shuts down the whole country. Wouldn't you agree? I've got more eyes on the target like never before in my life. I'm locked on and I'm focused. I'm ready to be back in the saddle. I'm ready to be back in the war. I'm ready to go. What about you? Hey, thanks for being here today for our Get Started Today story here at Truth News Network. That's a lead up to what happens at 9 o'clock Central right here at truthnewsnet.org. Look over at the homepage, the first story over there, and you'll see that blue, like big horizontal button up there that says Listen Live. If you come back here at 9 o'clock and click on that button, you'll go to a live broadcast. We'll be doing a two-hour talk show. We'll be talking about what you just heard and a whole lot of other things, all the important items going on in our world today that most of them directly impact your life. You don't want to miss it. It costs you absolutely nothing. In those 2 hours, you'll be able to pick up the phone and call us toll-free if you want to ask a question about anything, if you want to suggest something, if you want to tell us something. That toll-free number, it's on our nickel. You ought to write this number down and keep it. 866-37-TRUTH. And I'll give you the numbers, all the numbers for that. That's 866-378-7884. Why don't you do that? A couple hours, just come back and listen. See what you think about it. Let us know. You don't have to call if you don't want to. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Dan at truthnewsnet.org. That's Dan at truthnewsnet.org. Did you find out about your check? Did it get it deposited overnight? I hope so. You might want to let us know about that. We won't give your name or how much or anything, but drop us an email and say, hey, I got mine. That's all I want. I just want to find out. Dan at truthnewsnet.org. Hey, we'll see you in a little bit. And if you can't get back until tomorrow morning, we'll see you right here at Truth News Network, truthnewsnet.org. So long, everybody.
Dan would like to hear from you. The exchange of truth is always a good thing. Just go to the homepage of truthnewsnet.org. This is TNN.